Hey there, this is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. It's The Money Show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you got a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, this is the show for you. 504-260-0995. Gregory, the guy across the table from me here, Gregory Ricks, is a financial advisor, and that's one of the little fun tricks of this show, is helping people out with their financial situations. 504-260-0995. Congratulations to a local company who just got listed on the S&P 500. I never heard of this company before. They're called PoolCorp. They're based out of Covington. And this is a very prestigious move in the business world because they're going to join the index that makes up about 80% of the value of all the stocks on American exchanges. I mean, they're now in the same group as Apple, Coca-Cola, Walt Disney, Nike, FedEx. Who is PoolCorp? PoolCorp on the North Shore, just hanging out, made themselves literally the world's largest distributor of swimming pool and related backyard products. So another round of applause. That's really, we have the world's largest wholesale distributor of swimming pool stuff on the North Shore. So congratulations, PoolCorp. Someone up there knows somebody that works there. Tell them we're really proud to have them in the neighborhood there. You don't get a whole lot of S&P 500 companies. In fact, who was that was supposed to get on the S&P 500 and got denied? Wasn't that like a Tesla side quest or whatever? You know, they're trying to go to the moon. They're trying to make electric cars and batteries that'll last for 100 years or whatever the heck it is. And there's the little side quest, like we're playing some sort of RPG. Yeah, let's try and get on the S&P 500. And I think Tesla's problem was they just couldn't crank out the earnings, the positive profits long enough. And one more quick piece of news before we jump right into our first financial topic. Big news in Biloxi. We'd reported here in June when this got approved. Now we have more details about it. One of the new hotels, the big project, the next giant project is going to be the biggest one on the Biloxi coast here. And this is a new hotel resort, golf course, everything. It's going to be made by Universal Music. Universal Music sounds kind of familiar. It also sounds kind of vague. Could be anything. What's Universal Music? They're the publishing company. They have the rights to a bunch of music out there, like the Beatles catalog and Michael Jackson's catalog. And they also still represent some of the biggest names in music. Some of their clients include Dolly Parton, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, Elton John, Bon Jovi, Andrea Bocelli, Jennifer Lopez, Justin Bieber, Mariah Carey, Luke Bryan, and Gregory Ricks. I'm sorry that he doesn't have a music career yet. We're working on that country album, though, aren't we, Gregory? But this is pretty cool because Universal Music is getting into the resort business, and they're starting off with three hotels. They're not just doing this Biloxi one. There's going to be one in Biloxi, one in Atlanta, one in Orlando. And they're going to try and sort of make it like locally featured here, and it's supposed to be about the music and the scene. But think about it like this. This was even brought up in the write-up I saw on NOLA.com. If it was really all about the music, you know, because Universal Music is supposed to be all about the music, wouldn't it be in like a Memphis or a Nashville or an Austin? Atlanta, Orlando, and Biloxi. Well, Atlanta's huge. I'm not sure if they paid them off or what weird deal they got there. But we know what the deal is with Orlando. They've got Mickey Mouse next door. The resorts do well there. Hotels do well there. They have a built-in audience that they can pilfer from. So what does Biloxi bring to the table? What does Biloxi bring to the table that New Orleans doesn't? New Orleans, birthplace of blues and jazz and, yeah, a little more culturally relevant. No offense, Biloxi. We just have a bigger brand. No, New Orleans doesn't get it. And why? This is going to be the only Universal Music hotel that has a casino in it. Oh, there it is. Now it makes sense. Wow. All right. So, you know, Biloxi does have a nice little music scene over there, but I have a feeling that the tipping point wasn't necessarily the cultural significance as it was the gambling. All right. So what do we learn from this? Biloxi, you're very smart to have gambling over there. You're reaping the rewards of it over here on the New Orleans side of the Pearl River. Am I crazy, or should we legalize gambling, at least in New Orleans, for just for tourism purposes, just so we get some of these hotels or these resorts or these jobs or these casinos and people coming in? Let's just open it up, right? Am I the only one that's on that boat? So this is going to be really cool. They're spending $1.2 billion on it. Just to give you a little context here, right now, the biggest, grandest, most expensive resort on the coast over there is the Beau Rivage. Beau Rivage was about $800 million when Steve Wynn opened it up in 1999. So this is going to be a little bit bigger than that. The design looks incredible. Casino, golf course, hotel, spa. One of the amenities is a giant screen TV, like the ones that they have hanging up in the like the football stadium in Dallas. The one that, giant one, there's going to be like that. There's a semicircle that's going to be facing the bay, the water. And in the middle of that semicircle, it looks like it's about six stories tall, this TV screen. So I guess you could be 4 miles away and you could see, I don't know, a rerun of Top Gun or whatever they're playing up there. But if you were wondering, we had reported on this in June. We finally have a few more details about it. Look at the size of that TV, though, Gregory. Isn't that just ridiculous? That's a little bit bigger than the one in my room. And that's going to be facing the bay. So how cool is that going to be for events? Because, you know, they're going to be having a concert right here in the pool area. And they're going to have, you know, the big jumbotron behind the concert. And anybody with a boat is going to be able to just float on out there into the bay and partake in some of the festivities, concerts and whatnot. That's going to be a whole thing. That's what's coming up over on the coast. That's what this project means. It looks really cool. And it's a nice little way for me to take a vacation, but only have to go an hour away. Don't you think?
We have an office over there in Gulfport, by the way.
We do have an office in Gulfport. Are you going to let me crash there if, you know, just have to take a short Uber from the resort? Or
shouldn't you be staying at the resort?
I probably should. Should. All right, so that's all my big news for today. You got anything to add or you just want to jump in the phones? Phones it is. Laura in New Orleans. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Laura?
Hi. I don't know if y'all remember me. I called a while back. I was standing to inherit some money. And unfortunately, that day has come. And what I'm trying to do is leave the bulk of it in some form where it can accrue interest. And I can siphon off the interest as supplemental income. But I don't know what kind of thing to put it in. Annuity or, I'm really lost. Hello?
Well, this is kind of fortuitous because one of the topics we were planning on talking about today is how do you take a big lump sum and turn it into a monthly check? So you're kind of in the same situation, except your lump sum doesn't come from your IRA or 401k. You're inheriting a big lump sum. So yeah, you want like a monthly check or do you want it bi-weekly or yeah. So what does she put in? Those were rhetorical questions, Laura. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry.
Okay. So this is an after-tax lump sum.
Yes, this is after-tax.
Okay. What do you think your risk tolerance is?
I don't want to go high risk at all.
Okay. So low. It's very low then in that case. What do you think is a reasonable return?
I'm hoping to get about $28,000 and it's around $1 million.
Okay. So you're looking around 2.8%. You're saying it's about $1 million. You're looking for $28,000 a year from that. Is this a hard number you're having to be at for some reason?
No, it's not. It's just a goal as a supplemental income. My husband's still working. He'd like to retire early, hence we'd like that, you know, bulk to stay there.
What is your husband's age? I started to ask her age, so I'll ask her husband. He's age 50.
He's 53, but he would like to retire at around 60, 62.
Yeah.
If not a little
look,
bit earlier.
If we were from a retirement income planning standpoint, I like to use the invest 50-50. I'm okay with a 4% income stream, even though I'll show you that it will stress your assets a little bit over the long term, but it could support that. So you're kind of saying, hey, I need a little bit less than 3% income from that. So, you know, we probably could, even super conservative, use two of the three doors on the invest 50-50 and use a bond ETF strategy and use index linked investing, which wouldn't give you downside exposure to stocks, but upside, and be able to look at that it would probably support, strong likelihood that it would support that level of income over a long period of time. That'd be a very comfortable number to get to from a goal standpoint.
Now, would I actually be accruing any extra interest to build up that initial bulk, or would I be siphoning
Now, we're not going to get, we're talking about opportunity of success. You're not going to go out there and get guarantees at that level. Now, with that block of money,
especially not in this economy.
And you wouldn't want to lock in anything on a long-term basis at these current rates, because we do believe there's a possibility someday, somehow, interest rates are going to go up. But with that said, yeah, you should probably be making more than that with the right blend based on historicals. That would be a reasonable expectation going forward, and say maybe you could have another percent or two left in the pile to keep that growing while taking that income. But also, we have to take a long-term view. If you're going to take a short-term view, well, it's very low interest rate environment. In investing, you need to take a longer-term view. You know, with that said, you can be called conservative. In fact, be conservative, but which means you should expect a lower return. But with the right blending, I don't think you may well end up with a lower return from that standpoint. Because, you know, when we talk about the invest 50-50 philosophy there, you know, when you're having to make up losses, which the stock market has to do because it loses money and has to make it up, and that's why it has to average a higher return to make up those losses, where index-linked investing does not have negative losses, and bonds have rarely had losses over the past 20 years. So when you look at those numbers there, you're not necessarily giving up a lot of return to be conservative. You're just probably, what we're trying to get to is have more consistency. But I like asking that question I asked Laura regarding what is your expectation of return. Oh, she could have fired back, well, you know, I'd like to get 9, 10, 11%. Well, that's unrealistic, but you also, reason I ask that is I want to see what they're thinking. Are we needing to talk about how we're thinking about return instead of, well, this is something we can work towards there? Because she does have an understanding of where we are return-wise, and she's trying to achieve something reasonable. For those that in Laura's situation, you can call my office for more help, more detail on how to get that type of results. My office number is 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. We're there to help you.
Okay, let's talk to Eric in New Orleans. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Eric?
Eric, in 2005, I met a woman. I moved in with her until she died in 2013, at which time she left me approximately $115,000, $120,000. Shortly after this, my cousin slash uncle slash godfather got wind of the fact that I came into an inheritance. He came up to me and said, "Oh, Eric," he's 12 years older than I am, and I'm 60 right now. He came up to me and said, "Eric, oh, you know, I'm a businessman. I own a gallery for so many years, and I'm respectable in the community. And if you let me, I'll take care of your money, and I'll invest it, and we'll both make out like bandits." And I signed something to that effect, and I asked him if I could read it, and he said, "Well, I'm in a hurry. I got to go," and I was not able to read it. Anyhow, the upshot of the situation is, he said he'd take care of my bills and pay my rent for me, which he did for 2 years. And then he absconded with like $70,000 or $80,000. Totally ripped me off. And I don't know what to do. I could sue him. Huh? I'm sorry?
Okay, so this was a while back, obviously.
Yeah. I mean, this was it was like 2015 when he came, after he realized that I came into an inheritance. He came and he made a deal and said, like, you know, I'm going to take care of it. We'll invest it for you and we'll make out like bandits. And he paid my bills for a couple of years, paid my rent, took care of my sundries, and then turned around and absconded with my money, like $70,000+.
Okay, so you didn't give him the whole $110,000 then?
No, I mean, I used about 30,000, 35,000 of that and plus whatever. And I'm disabled.
I can't help you from a legal standpoint because you didn't read the document and you've probably never seen the document that you signed.
He said, well, I'm in a hurry. You know, I said, can I read it? He said, well, I'm in a hurry. You know, I got to go. And
so what'd you do? Hand him a sack of money or write a check?
No, he said, if I gave him access to my account, he would invest my money on my part and we'd both make out like bandits. That was just a ruse to get his hands on my money.
Okay, you believed him at the time that...
Yeah, he's my godfather, second cousin, my father's mother's brother's son. He's 12 years older than I am.
So there's one of your rules right there for everybody. Don't loan money to family members. And if you do, don't count on it coming back if you want to keep the relationship going. Kind of a core thing. Another rule is if you're going to sign documents, you need to read them beforehand. Here's also the response too. He said, well, you know, you're just going to need to sign it. You can look at it later. That sounds like a congressman in some cases as well. So, you've heard it like, they did that with some healthcare bill years back. Yeah, we got to pass this and then everybody can read it later. You know what? You're not getting no money unless I have time to sit down and look at the document.
Yeah.
He who has the gold makes the rules. It's your money.
Yeah, well,
it was your rules. And this is a lesson for everybody listening. You don't turn that over. And if you're going to give them money, you give them some money. Don't give them access to your account either that way.
Yeah, well, hindsight is 2020. How do they say that? Like a fait accompli?
Yeah.
I'm
not here. I can't help you from a legal standpoint. And I don't know how you're going to get the money back. You'd have to speak to somebody from a legal standpoint about that. You don't have a document and you gave them access to the account.
You should call a lawyer, not a financial advisor in this case.
Yeah.
Gregory can do a lot with money, but he can't do a lot with legal stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So I got to call a bar.
Well, call an attorney. The Bar Association is probably going to direct you to an attorney, but
if in your family, maybe if your mother's brother's uncle's roommate's a lawyer, don't get that guy. Go get a
father's mother's brother's son. Anyway,
I got you, Eric. This is a bad situation. We've heard this several times on the show, and rarely does it come back where the money's returned in full. It's bad news, Eric.
Yeah.
And when somebody comes in the money, everybody's an expert. Everybody in the family's got advice, and everybody in the family, there's somebody in your family going to want to help you out of it too. But that's why you should use somebody disconnected, like maybe run it by a financial advisor. Or if you've got a document and they say, hey, I've got a document, but I need you to sign this. Give me access to money. I got a roll. He's not getting the money until you get things looked at. And all those things, those are red flags, which should tell you to distance yourself from that person until you are equipped to handle the discussion.
Thank you. Let's go on to Brian in New Orleans. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Brian?
So I just had a quick question about a 401k, just to kind of give a backstory to make a long story short. I've been doing kind of the gig economy delivery apps for years, and I've realized through COVID that, you know, I'm just a number and I really don't matter. I've lost about 2/3 of my income, so I decided to make a career change, and I'm going to start driving trucks over the road, and the company I'm going to work for offers 401k, and I don't have one currently, and I'm just at my age, I'll be 35 next month. What is the best way to go about starting that so that I can retire at a reasonable age?
What is your age now, Brian?
I'll be 35 next month.
Okay. Well, one of the core things is to save as much as you can into the plan. So first off, you're able to, once you're able to sign up for the plan, they have companies have different rules of when contributions can start to those plans. Then they typically have a portion that they'll match, say 100% up to say 4% of your income or 5%. They'll have various rules like that. And then you're probably going to want to save more than what they're matching, because if you're putting in 4% and they'll match that, you know, that's 100% return right then and there. And now putting it to work, which I believe you should blend or diversify in asset classes and use indexing as well inside the 401k. And you're going to take a long-term view. The 401k itself is not going to go and make you wealthy, but what you're going to do is utilize it to accumulate wealth and to continue growing that money. So the core is what you're doing from your job in the trucking business to allow you to set aside money, and you're going to let the magic of time and compound interest to work for you.
Okay. And so I mean, I know it's a percentage of income and, you know, I'm going to start out lower and obviously make more money as I get more experience. But what, just speaking from a dollar amount standpoint, on average, what would you say that I would need to put away weekly, monthly, whatever, to be able to have a semi-decent retirement, like I said, at a kind of reasonable age?
Well, part of it is you're going to have a pension from Social Security and your need. I'm going to go back. That's going to be pretty simple. You need to save as much as you can. And I told Brian on the 401k, it's over $18,000. Actually, he can put up to $19,500. And I said, he's probably not going to get there. And that's being assumptive, but that'd be a giant portion of his $35,000 a year in salary. Isn't that kind of where he said he was starting out at?
I think that was his age. Did he give us his salary?
Maybe I'm wrong there, but that is, for a 35-year-old, that's a big chunk of income, and where he's transitioning to making some money. That is something to work up from that standpoint. But, you know, a reasonable goal, and when I say is do as much as you can, I know that's not the answer that he would like to get to, but if I had to put a number, first off, Brian, you do need to create some emergency savings, and you have to find a number that's good for you, but I'd say it's at least 5K, because, you know, stuff happens and we're needing some money, whether it's to fix your car, evacuate for a hurricane, AC system breaks if you own the home, you know, things happen. Next thing is, once you've got the emergency money, then what is that comfort zone? What is your margin versus what's your overhead versus what you're making on net income? You know, that might be $5,000 a year at that point. But gosh, if you could get to $10,000 a year being put away and get matching on a portion of that, now you've got $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 maybe being put away there in that case, depending on how much match that is. And now you've got to start to where you can get going forward. And I would, inside the 401k, it's going to be subject to your choices, but I would use a blend of stock ETFs and bond ETFs inside of that 401k to get growth over the long haul there, to where you can get some consistency going forward. And one of the magic things is contributions are being put in for you every month, and you just keep doing that going forward, and you will be on the road to accumulating some money. So what you need to do when you kind of figure out, well, how much should you save? I don't know what you're trying to get to from a goal standpoint, but if you're kind of, well, I want $35,000 in retirement income from assets. Okay. Well, that's $35,000 would mean $1 million, meaning you're taking 3.5%. I'd say you kind of need to figure out, how do you get to $1 million? Then that might tell you how much you're needing to save. So you could also take a compound calculator or go online and look up, well, what is $10,000 a year, say, and use a number like this, like 5%. At 5% growth, where does that get me in 30 years? Now, you know, your FRA number for Social Security is going to be age 67 under current law. So you could look at a projection of what might your Social Security benefits be there in addition to that. So, you know, maybe that's another $2,000 a month at that point, $24,000, and you get to a million and you've got $35,000 in income. So you're doing that in today's dollars. That's some good retirement numbers there, but you have to do a little bit of work on calculating how you're going to get there. And from everybody's got a little bit different view. I could put a number out there and heck, that might be a stretch go for you. I don't know. That might also be a low number. You're probably, as a truck driver, you may well be making, you know, 100K a year, 90K a year on that. So you might be able to say, darn, yeah, I can do that 19.5. Then you're getting along to that path. But if you're going to want $100,000 a year for retirement, say Social Security's 30 of it, you're going to need probably better than $2.5 million to generate the income from assets that you're going to need from that. And then you might kind of say, well, you know, I'm not going to need much in retirement. Then the million's probably going to be good for you plus Social Security. We could just keep going in circles just with that. How much should I save? I know it sounds like it's too simplistic of an answer. How much can you save right now? Well, that's what you need to save. But it also needs to be as much as you can, because you're going to need more than you think.
All right. So what's up with the CARES Act? Do you have an update on that?
Yeah, we're just wanting to, last night we had a caller regarding the 401ks and plan loan relief.
Well, do you want to replay that call? Because it's like 7 minutes. There's no way it would fit right here. And I did.
No.
Okay.
We can't. Then it can't fit right here. We don't fit 7 minutes into.
Right. So
less than 2 minutes.
Brad and Hammond and his wife are looking into dipping in their 401k. It's 2020. So how do they avoid the penalty because of coronavirus?
So they have an opportunity to have borrowed this year. And they need to have already done that, actually, of taken out. The relief applies to loans taken by September 23rd of 2020. So for individuals, maximum amount of plan loans is increased to the lesser of $100,000 reduced by any other outstanding loans or 100% of the account balance. Normally, this is the lesser of $50,000 or 50% of loan balance, and they don't have to make any payments on that this year, in fact, as well. So payments can be avoided and actually spread over 3 years on the payback there from that. So that is some help right there on doing so. If those loans have not been taken, I don't know that you could get them at this point for the COVID reason. And the 10% penalty can be waived for COVID, and you've got a tax would be due, but could be spread evenly over 3 years, and the funds could be repaid to the IRA over a 3-year period. So that's a really interesting option if you have a sizable IRA and needed to access the funds. Now, going back to the special rules that we're talking about regarding our caller last night, and James was referring and I were talking about on the break, but the special rules are available for plan loans made to qualified individuals, meaning it's COVID-related, loans from a qualified plan to a qualified individual on or after March 27th of this year. And the IRS notes before September 23rd of 2020 may be made up to the lesser of $100,000 minus loans you have outstanding or 100% of your non-forfeitable.
Invested amount.
100% of your invested amount of the account. We'll simplify their language there. Amounts of the IRAs are eligible for coronavirus-related distributions, but you may not take loans from an IRA. Now, getting back on, well, do I have to pay it back? For both new and existing loans, plans can also suspend loan repayments due between March 27th of 2020 and December 31st of 2020 for up to 1 year. Although typically, at least those repayments originally scheduled for 2021 must resume in January of 2021. Now, notice 2020-50 provides a safe harbor for plans that would like to implement a suspension in loan repayments. This effectively gives you up to 6 years instead of 5 years to repay a typical plan loan. So before the break, I was really referencing the 3 years on the IRAs to pay back. Typically, borrowing out of your 401k, you have 5 years, but now it's going to be up to 6 years, and it can be deferred till next year to start that. So when the payments resume, your payment will be adjusted for interest that accrued on the loan during the suspension period. That is a lot there. But then you and I were talking about on the break, and this goes to expanded loan and distribution under the CARES Act are optional in an employer-sponsored retirement plan. An employer is permitted to choose whether and to what extent to amend the plan to provide for expanded coronavirus-related distributions and or loans that satisfy the provision of the CARES Act.
Right. And I got a little concerned on Brad's behalf because this CNBC article references that almost half of plan sponsors still haven't decided if they're going to allow these CARES Act provisions to be implemented and allow these distributions, these coronavirus related distributions. So far, out of the ones that have, if you're talking about one of the big companies, about 70% of large organizations are allowing the CRDs, they already have a name for it, coronavirus-related distribution, a CRD of up to $100,000. They're already allowing that if the plan is okay with it. When you go to small businesses, small organizations, only so far about 1 in 5, about 20% of them are allowing it to happen. So even if you go read the letter of the law and you think, well, hey, this sounds like it could apply to me, if your company's not down with it, it may not be an option for you. So that, I don't want to say that's scary, but that's going to be... It's going to be pretty disheartening if you're expecting
it. Here's where we're at. We're in today, if I'm looking at my calendar, it's October 13th. This ship has sailed.
I hope so. I mean, not for the fact that the door is going to close on so many of these people, but if this is one of the cans they've kicked where they're like, oh, well, we'll just extend this to the end of the year or something like that. These things need to start going away anyway. I mean, aren't we pretty much kind of coming out of the other side of this whole economic downturn? I mean, we're supposed to get the report in it this week. The GDP growth for the third quarter is coming in. We're expected to be above 30%.
So once again, these rules had to be in place before September 23rd, which essentially means you needed to have made your loan on September 22nd, and the plan had to be changed for you to be able to do that. So unless something changes, that ship has sailed.
The CNBC article also brings up a scenario where this husband and wife, the wife lost both of her jobs. They couldn't live off just the husband's salary alone, so they were going to dip into his 401k. They had theirs denied, even though the company was allowing it. The CARES Act provisions, it all fell within the boundaries of that. But the company, on an individual basis, says, no, I don't think we're going to allow this to happen because he's still employed.
Yeah, and there's a process of changing the plan to allow that because that's not in their rules. And they... ERISA really is complicated, and that's what oversights it. So this makes it that much more complicated. And the essentially, they have to amend their plan and then approve the loans. And honestly, not all company plans allow hardship distributions. Actually, a company plan doesn't have to allow you to borrow the money out of the plan as well. It just depends on how it is structured. You know, pretty much the norm is, yeah, I could borrow from 401k, or I could and could have hardship distributions, but they don't have to let you as well for that.
Another mess that is still being cleaned up from what was the CARES Act is when the original bill passed in the spring. And remember those $1,200 economic impact payments were supposed to go out? You know, a bunch of them went out. Problem is more than 84,000 checks totaling about $100 million were sent to people in prison. And so
what?
Yeah. So when people started getting their checks in prison, someone has spoke up and they're like, oh, come on, IRS. You're sending money to the folks in prison. They're like, so the Treasury Secretary went and said, okay, prison people don't count. Well, the prison people sued and they just won yesterday. A judge slammed the gavel in favor of the prisoners in California. No, they should get their checks. All right. So the government is appealing. The feds are appealing that, but that we still haven't even gotten through the checks going out and they might go to prisoners still. And you can't explain to me how sending my taxpayer dollars to some guy in prison in California is going to stimulate the economy 8 months after a pandemic. Go ahead.
Five things to do with your old 401k. So we're kind of on a 401k topic tonight. I've got a download for you. Go to GregoryRicks.com/401k for more information.
And what's an old 401k? You had your old job.
At that old job, you know, that 401k you had there and you left the money in it there. You might want to think about some of your options that you could do something different with it than just leave it at the old job.
Yeah, and I got caught up with an old 401k situation because when I had worked for the satellite radio company, they merged with another company, and so it reset my 401k. So I didn't know. I mean, I guess they probably told me. It just didn't dawn on me. I had two 401ks, and I did completely forget about one for years and years and years. So if remember, that could be your situation as well. Five things to do with that old 401k. All right, one more quick news update. I told you the estimates on the cost of living increase, the bump for 2021 for Social Security, it's going to be 1.3%. Is right between where, boy, they really nailed the estimates last week. They said it's going to be between 1.2 and 1.4%. 1.3, they got it.
And they're not expecting the Medicare premiums to increase by that percentage. That's not going to be released until next month for the Medicare premiums.
Good, good. The average yearly benefit, if you add 1.3% to it, that would be $250. Now, you spread that out over the year, that's another $20 a month. That's not much, but when you're on a fixed income, that's high cotton, I imagine. I'd be pretty happy with that, especially if you're one of these Social Security-only people. So there's your cost of living update. All right, well, that was a lot, Gregory. We really squeezed it all in. This is one of the shows where we had some extra calls and still got everything we had on the table. Well done. Can we round of applause here? All right, if you got a financial situation that requires more than just a phone call to a very clever radio show, you're looking for a financial advisor, start your search with this guy across the table from me, Gregory Ricks. Has his own firm and everything, Gregory Ricks and Associates. I'm not saying you got to pick him. Hey, maybe you're not a match. But, you know, shop around. Just include him in the search, all right? GregoryRicks.com or call the office directly, 504-832-9200. You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA.
hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks and Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks and Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.